Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Foundation, now down in the 12th Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 14, 2017, or as if 18, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Until Then. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here. This but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart can go on singing. Until then the trial carry on, until the day I see home the city, until the day you call me home. Things of earth will dim and lose their value if we ever call their borrowed for a while. And things of earth across the heart to teach and bold, I remember that will only bring a smile. But until then my heart will go on singing. Until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day hides me home the city, until the day you calls me home. This weary world with all its joy and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon, and as I believe, is destined for the slide. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, the joy I'll carry on. Until the day I behold the city, until the day you calls me home. Gentiles, part 24. We're on Hebrews chapter 1. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start back with verse 1 again on Hebrews and see if we can't move along. Okay, Yahshua is above the angels. Chapter 1, verse 1, Hebrews. Yahweh, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on the high, being so much better than the angels, that he had by the inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now see, it says, hath by the inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What about us? We're going to get a name change, especially after we receive our inheritance. And we should have already received it. If we don't know that, then we should be finding out. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. And again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, and to the world he said, and let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. Now do you see that? After he brought the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? Okay, he makes his angels spirits. Okay, so what happens to us when we transfer from a carnal being unto a spiritual being? What happens? Well, we become we have this spirit, and the spirit is constantly with us. So if you're a spiritual being, then you automatically are like the angels. You become spirits. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O Yahweh, O Yahshua. See, but unto the Son, Yahweh the Father, he said to his Son, O Yahshua, thy throne, O Yahshua, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. Okay. And is the scepter of thy kingdom. Okay, so a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. There's at least five or six or seven different symbols that represents this scepter. You start with the rod and the branch also. And the rod and the branch together is called an ensign. Okay. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, even thou, Yahweh. Let's do it again. Thou hast loved righteousness. It's talking about his son, Yahshua. And hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, the Father, even thy Father. I mean, he's talking about even the Son's Father, Yahshua, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, this here covers a lot of more than just one individual. Now, when you go back and deal with that word anointed, matter of fact, let's look at this word anointed in the scriptures to see where it first began. Okay, anointed occurs 98 times in the scriptures. Starting with Exodus 29, verse 2. It says, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers, unleavened anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. Now, what makes the unleavened bread so special? It's unleavened is anointed with oil. For one thing, it says, Exodus 29:29, And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. Leviticus 2:4. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened, cakes of fine flour, mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers, anointed with oil. Okay. That's enough on that. We covered this yesterday, but let's do it again. Now in Isaiah 61:1, it says, the Spirit of Yahweh, Elohim, hath upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound. So now this is Isaiah. He's been anointed. Okay, so all of your inspired prophets and kings and, well, all your kings, David was a prophet. And Acts 4:27 says, for of a truth against thy holy child, Yahshua, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Yahweh, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child, Yahshua. Okay, so the disciples definitely had to be anointed to be able to do that. Okay, so now, in order to become anointed, you have to become perfect. You have to definitely be without sin. Alright. So now let's go back to Hebrews, chapter 1, and verse 10. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But unto which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? Who shall be heirs of the salvation? Alright, Hebrews chapter 2. Yahshua made like unto his brethren. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed unto the thing that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angel is steadfast in every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of the reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, that at the first began to be spoken by the Yahshua and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Yahweh also bearing them witness. Now let's do this. Yahshua. Yahshua also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according unto his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world of time, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection, unto him. He left nothing that is not put unto him, but now we see not yet all things put unto him. But we see Yahshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the dead, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of Yahweh, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, for the making the captain of their salvation perfect through a suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the temple will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which the Yahweh hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Yahweh, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Yahshua above Moses. Wherefore, holy brethren, this is in chapter 3 of Hebrews, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahshua the Messiah, who is faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is Yahweh. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Yahshua is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in the departing from the living Elohim. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Yahshua, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in a wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but unto them that believe not? So we see that they should not enter into the house of unbelief. The Christian's rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the plan of salvation preached by the new and living through the new and living way, which is through the blood of the Yahshua, in the blood of the Yahshua, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith and the blood, and them that heard it. So if they didn't have faith in the blood of Yahshua to take the place of the animal sacrifices, and to take the place of the animal's blood, if they didn't have faith in that transition, well then they had no hope. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. And he said, your key word is believe. Those of us that believed in the new and living way accepted Yahshua as the one that took the place of the old covenant animal sacrifices. He became a living sacrifice. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my wrath, although the works were finished in the foundation of the world. Okay, so this plan of salvation had been laid down from the foundation of the world. That he would go just that away. It's a plan of salvation. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise. And Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they unto whom it was first preached, talking about the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the house of Israel, entered not in because of the unbelief in the Yahshua. His period, which is just unbelief that he was the true Son of Yahweh. They didn't believe that he was the one that Yahweh sent. Verse 7, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Okay, so that David, let's see where that's found at, Hebrews 4:7. It says 95:7. Psalms 95:7. Let's see if we can find that right quick. It says that, for he is our Savior, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now, here David is talking about that Yahshua is our Savior here. Way back to 1,000 years before the cross, he said, for he is our Savior. It says God here, but we know that that's not right. He is our Savior. He is our King. Okay. So, as it says in Psalm 95:8, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I agreed with this generation. And said, it is the people that do err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. 40 years he did marvelous works for them in the wilderness, and they have not known it, and they never learned his ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Alright, now, who is he talking about here? He says, for 40 long years was I grieved. Who is this? Yahshua. Yahshua is the one that was grieved with this generation for 40 years. And it said, it is the people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Okay. So they wouldn't enter into Yahshua's rest. Father has a rest, Yahshua has a rest. Okay, now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. For if Yahshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as the Yahshua did from his. How the Yahweh did from his works. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of the unbelief of those fathers in the wilderness, in other words. For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the divine asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Yahshua is our high priest, verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Yahshua the Son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Tempted, but yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of the grace. Now what's the throne of grace? It's the throne of Yahshua. That we may obtain mercy and find grace for help in the time of need. Okay, end of the Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go right on into chapter 5. Verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining unto Yahweh, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So this is Yahshua. What gifts and sacrifices are he offering for sin? He's offering the gift of grace. It's for those that have faith in his blood. He makes an offering for their sins by their faith in his blood. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of the Yahweh, as was Aaron. So also Yahshua glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said, also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the dead, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation, and all them that obey him, called of Yahweh and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So this is Yahshua after the order of Melchizedek, warning against the spiritual immaturity, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of the hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of yoga, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth unto them that are the full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, this is in Hebrews chapter 6 now, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Yasha, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works and of the faith toward Yahweh, of the doctrine of baptism, of baptisms, and of the laying on of the hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do, if Yahweh permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of the Yahweh, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify unto themselves the Son of Yahweh, afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from the Yahweh. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence unto the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through the faith and patience inherit the promises. For when Yahweh made promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is unto them an end of all strife. Wherein Yahweh willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by the two immutable things in which it was impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. There's your key right there. There's your key to the salvation through the new and living way, which you will find in Hebrews 10:20. It talks about the new and living way. And the key word is right here, that entereth into that within the veil. All right, let's look at Hebrews 10:20. It says that verse 19, hold fast without wavering. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. Now this is the holiest. This is in the most holy place. That only takes place on the Day of Atonement once a year. It says, by the blood of Yahshua, you can only enter into the Most Holy by the blood of Yahshua. by a new and living way that he has consecrated for us through the veil. Now, Yahshua had to consecrate that way through the veil. That is to say, in his flesh and through his flesh. Hebrews 10:21. And having a high priest over the house of the Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of the faith in the blood, I added the blood, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, that is, sprinkled by that blood, and our bodies washed with the pure water. Okay. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith in the new and living way without wavering, that's in the blood. Okay, it says, by the blood of Yahshua, for he is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, that is, if you have received the knowledge of the new and living way, how to truly, by faith, follow Yahshua into the holiest of all once a year, how to follow the ordained system of true worship during the year, by following Yahshua in the sanctuary every day, and knowing what he's doing on a day-to-day basis in the heavenly sanctuary, in the first apartment and then in the second apartment, at the appointed times that he enters into to those different places. All right. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. For if we sin willfully, in other words, the only way you sin willfully then is you say, well, you know, this is not the right way after all. I don't believe it's the right way after all. It's too complicated. It's too much to it. It's too precise. It's time consuming. Matter of fact, it also separates me from everybody else around me. Okay, and so there's a lot of reasons why people turn away from the truth. So if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Okay. But there's a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Okay, those that despise the plan of salvation that Yahweh set up through Moses, that is the tabernacle and wilderness, and Leviticus 23 explains all the holy days, and including the seventh-day Sabbath, as part of the plan of salvation under the Moses law. It said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Okay. How much sore punishment suppose ye should he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of the Yahweh and hath counted the blood of the covenant? The blood of the covenant, which is Yahshua's blood. Yahshua is the animal blood, only with a token that represented the blood of the covenant, which is Yahshua. Blood is the true blood of the covenant. The animal blood was not the true blood of the covenant. It only stood in the place of, and people that followed the animals, blood by faith, they lived and they obtained eternal life because they believed that that was a representative of the blood of the covenant, which was Yahshua's blood. They believed in it, and so it was counted unto them for righteousness. And they obtained salvation by their believing. So it says, wherewith he was sanctified. An unholy thing, Let's read that 29th verse over again, Hebrews chapter 10. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of the Yahweh, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done the spot unto the Spirit of grace. Now, isn't this amazing? Because in Hebrews 10:14, just right across the page here, is that, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, here's that word sanctified that is mentioned two times, right there in verse 14 and verse 29. Okay, and he hath wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done the spot unto the Spirit of grace. He was despiteful of the whole plan of salvation. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Yahshua, and again the Yahshua shall judge his people. See? So, Yahshua has a plan of salvation, and he is also made a judge of the people that he represents. And the people that will not be represented by him, they're judged also. Those that follow the plan are judged, because he makes remission for them, and he makes he's an advocate for them on the Day of Atonement, get their sins blotted out. So that's Yahshua carrying out judgment upon the people. And those that don't have their name in the book to get their sins blotted out on the Day of Atonement, then they are judged unworthy, and they are put in another book to be blotted out and to be destroyed at a later date. For it says right here, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Yahshua. Now we know that Yahweh has always, the Father has always, and always will be, so we don't, he's ever living, but Yahshua at one time became a non-living entity. For a period of from the time he was crucified and died until he resurrected, and then he was resurrected and started again the eternal life. Of course, Yahshua, when he was first created in heaven, he always had eternal life. And as long as he didn't have didn't sin any time anywhere, then he had eternal life in him, no matter if he went through the grave. Had to go through the grave for a little period of time, he still had eternal life because of his faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about his enduring, and about he was made perfect by the things that he suffered. Okay. Now we go back to Hebrews chapter 6, and we're on verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Yahshua made an high priest forever, as the order of Melchizedek. Yahshua's eternal priesthood. Chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Yahweh, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, unto whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first beginning by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto the Son of Yahweh, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. and verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according unto the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of the Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay. If therefore profession were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity to change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth unto another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Yeshua, Savior, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of the Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after a law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto the Yahweh. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, Yahshua swear and will not repent. Thou art, no, the Yahweh, the Father, swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Yahshua made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of the death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now you see, the priests in the Old Testament, whenever they died, that was the end of them, for that, until the end of time. But Yahshua, when he died, that wasn't the end of him. He resurrected in less than a day. After he died, he resurrected within probably 18 hours. And whatever. And so therefore, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Because he became a priest after he resurrected. So death is behind him. But the other priests, death was in front of them, that's where they can continue on. Wherefore he is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto Yahweh by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. So it says, but the word of the oath, okay, All right, that's the end of chapter 7. Let's go right on into chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which is Yahweh pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according unto the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of Yahweh when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according unto the pattern showed unto thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant that was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should there no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because it continued not in my covenant. And I regard them not, saith the Yahweh, or Yeshua, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yeshua. I will put my laws in their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a father, and they shall be unto me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yeshua. For all shall know me from the least unto the greatest. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Okay. So you know what? That old covenant has reached up to this day. With those that didn't accept the new covenant and the new and living way of the Yeshua 2,000 years ago, the old covenant then has been abiding then with everyone outside of that up until now, counting them Seventh-day Adventists. But that old covenant is about to decay and pass away forever in the minds of people, because it's only going to be the living left when it's all over with. And they're going to be under the new covenant. The Mosaic rites, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of the divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Alright, so the first covenant had a worldly sanctuary. The second covenant, we also will have a worldly sanctuary. But it's a tabernacle. Well, Hebrews 12 says it's part of the one in heaven. Okay. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yahweh. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. For the Holy Spirit this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which did only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. Yahshua's perfect sacrifice, verse 11, Hebrews 9. But Yahshua being come and high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto Yahweh, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living Elohim? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept unto all the people according unto the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which Yahweh hath enjoined unto you. Okay, now, what I read to you a while ago about the, in Hebrews chapter 10, about the blood of the covenant, on verse 29, it says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of Yahweh, and hath accounted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So that blood of the animal was the blood of the New Testament, which Yahweh hath enjoined unto you. So the blood of the New Testament covenant was enjoined unto the children of Israel in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Okay, and almost all things about the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these. So those sacrifices of the animal, they did sanctify and purify the people, because that blood of the animal represented the blood of the New Testament covenant. For Yahshua is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay, actually I have a correction to make here when I said that blood of the testament in Hebrews 9:20 was the same as the blood of the new covenant there in Hebrews 10:29. Moses was, because in Exodus 24:8 it says that the blood of the animal was the blood of that testament of the Old Testament, of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant Testament. Okay, you can go read it for yourself. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call and number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. His eyes are on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for a heaven and home? When Yeshua is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and oh, He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and oh, He watches me. I say because I'm happy, I say because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eyes on the sparrow, and oh, He watches me. Eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I say, was unhappy. I see because I'm free, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds are dark, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw closer to Him. I'm sure He sets me free. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free, for His eyes on